Turn with me, if you would please, in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We want to go to Luke and chapter 22 once again. I appreciated Brother Taylor being willing to do the scripture reading for us this morning, calling in and doing that. And we want to look at Luke 22 and verse 19. Brother Taylor read, beginning with verse number 7, and we're not going to read all through there. We'll just read the one verse because it really gives us the thought that we need for the message. Of course, the thought from verse 19 is within the context of the verses that Brother Taylor read, which was verse 7 all the way to verse 22. And in that passage of Scripture there, the Lord Jesus is going through the Last Supper with his disciples. So think about it now. He is the night that he is going to be betrayed. He's going through that night. He is about to, once the Last Supper is done, he with his disciples will head out to the Mount of Olives, and there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he will agonize over the sacrifice that he is about to accomplish for you and for me, and he is preparing his disciples for that. I really enjoy John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 when you recognize the fact that in that time frame, Jesus gave them, at the time that we're going to read about here in verse number 19, Jesus gave them many instructions about what it would be like. And John 14 through 17 is just a great passage of Scripture to meditate on when you think about what Jesus was about to face. But as he is going through this time where he's sharing things with his disciples about what's going to happen, and they, of course, didn't comprehend all that was going to happen, even though he had told them, but he's about to suffer and die in their place. And he institutes what we now call the Last Supper, or the Lord's Table, as we call it often here in our church. Sometimes we refer to it as communion. It's an opportunity for us to remember the Lord Jesus. And when we're able to get back and to have services where we have more people than what we do now, we ought to have a commemoration of the Lord's Table very soon. I think that would be good for us when that is safe. But in the meantime, we can think about that now. And verse number 19 of Luke 22, think about what Jesus says here and what was going on. It tells us there, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. That last phrase in that verse, this do in remembrance of me. I want us to think about that here on this Sunday morning, the weekend of Memorial Day in 2020. Because on this weekend, we remember those who gave their lives for our nation, that fell in battle and gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. But we would be remiss to not also on this Sunday think of the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. Every time we commemorate the Lord's table, we are remembering his death. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that we ought to remember his death more than just when we commemorate the Lord's table with what we would call communion. We ought to also remember his death, listen, every day. That ought to be something that we think about every day. But I'm not going to go that far necessarily today. I'm just going to make this statement that every Sunday should be Memorial Day for the Christian. Not just Memorial Day as in remembering the fallen soldiers, that's a good thing, but more important than that, a Memorial Day where we remember our Savior who gave his life for us and rose from the grave. Every Sunday is Memorial Day, and that's the title of the message this morning. Every Sunday is Memorial Day. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. I thank you for the opportunity to have your word in our hands, that we can read these verses and know what went on that final night as you instituted this communion, this Lord's table, this Last Supper. You instituted it for us as a church that we could remember your death. But Lord, we also remember that it's important for us not just to commemorate your death, burial, and resurrection when we have the Lord's table. We should remember it and commemorate it every day, but especially Sundays. The day that we've set aside to worship you should be a very special day. Lord, would you help us this morning? Would you show us? Would you make it clear, Lord, where we're weak? Would you make it clear, Lord, where we are not instituting these things, where we're not commemorating you, where we have forgotten you. Lord, would you bring that to our minds, and would you motivate us today to make every Sunday a very special day, a memorial day where we remember what you did for us. Would you use this message? And Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice on live stream here in the auditorium that will listen later through MP3 that is not sure of heaven as their home, Lord, would you please bring them to the place where they understand what it means to believe on Jesus Christ. I pray these things in his name. Amen. I read some things to you in that short little time that we had where we remembered Memorial Day, and we gave a little bit of a presentation about that. I read to you part of something that explained what Memorial Day was all about, and I mentioned that there was a general, John A. Logan, who really began and established what was then called Decoration Day. We've now changed it to be called Memorial Day, and he instituted that in 1868. Well, I want to read to you just a part of the speech that he gave on that first Decoration Day, where he talked about, and this was in Arlington Cemetery. By the way, if you've never been to Arlington Cemetery, you need to go. If you ever get a chance to go out east to the D.C. area, you ought to go to Arlington National Cemetery, an amazing place. By the way, my wife's grandfather's buried there. We found his headstone and sat there for just a few moments. He was a Vietnam War veteran, just an amazing man. But I want to read to you just an excerpt from this speech that John A. Logan gave that very first Decoration Day as he stood in Arlington National Cemetery. He said this: "We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. All that the consecrated wealth and taste of the nation can add to their adornment and security is but a fitting tribute to the memory of her slain defenders. Let no wanton foot tread rudely on such hallowed grounds. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no vandalism of avarice or neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. If other eyes grow dull and other hands slack and other hearts cold in the solemn trust, ours shall keep it well as long as the light and warmth of life remain in us. Let us then, at the appointed time, gather around their sacred remains and garland the passionless mounds above them with the choicest of flowers of springtime. Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved from dishonor. Let us in this solemn presence renew our pledges to aid and assist those whom they have left among us, a sacred charge upon a nation's gratitude, the soldiers and sailors, widow and orphan." As John Logan gave those words that day in 1868, we think about the fact that what he was saying to the nation was this cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery, and any cemetery where the fallen soldiers have been buried ought to be a sacred place. He mentions the fact that no one should tread on those graves without having a hallowed attitude in their mind and heart. That as long as they were there to pay respect to those men who gave the ultimate sacrifice, that they ought to be able to be there and have a beautiful place to remember those men. That's a good thing, and I hope it's something that, by the way, we teach our children. Let me encourage you to teach your children to pay respects to those who gave their life for our nation. As they go to really any cemetery, but especially a cemetery where the fallen soldiers are buried, we ought to tread very lightly on those graves and remember what they gave. And when the national anthem is played, we ought to have our hats off and stand straight and upright and pay respect to those who gave all. But if we pay that much respect for fallen soldiers, and we should, if even the lost around us recognize the need to hallow their memory, then we should do the same with the Lord Jesus. And we should go beyond that with the Lord Jesus. The Sunday services that we have, the day that we give to the Lord, should be a memorial day. We should give it in remembrance of Jesus. That's why it should not be something that we take lightly. whether we're here in the service or watching via live stream, it should not be just something where we sit back and we take it easy and we just, you know, are as casual as can be and don't worry about the solemnity of the situation. We just take it easy. Listen, that should never be the case. Why? Because it's not about the pastor. It's not about Madison Baptist Church. And it's not about you. It is about Jesus Christ. And because it's about him, it ought to be a memorial day. Wouldn't it be a shame, and I'm ashamed to say that in many cases it is this way, wouldn't it be a shame if tomorrow just became another day for people to grill out, go to the lake, spend time with family, and they never remembered those who gave their all so that we could have a free nation? Sadly, that happens in many homes, doesn't it? But think about it. How sad is it when we come to a church service on Sunday, or again, with the situation we're in, having to watch live stream, many of you? Wouldn't it be sad, and isn't it sad, if we don't look at it as a time of commemoration, if we don't really think about the Lord Jesus, if we just think about it as a ritual? Another day to be off of work, or take it easy, or fellowship with friends, or whatever, but we don't look at it as the Lord's Day? What a shame that is. Every Sunday should be Memorial Day, and because of that, every Sunday we ought to remember three things. Let me quickly give you three things we should remember about the Lord Jesus on every Sunday. Number one, we should remember his love for us. We should remember his love for us. And I know that might be something where we think of as, oh, Pastor, we always hear about the love of Jesus, but wait a minute. One of the things that we do with soldiers who have fallen is we remember the love that they gave to their country, the love that they had for their nation. Sometimes it was even more than just a love for the nation, it was a love for their comrades in arms, those who were fighting alongside them. I would imagine many of you are like me. I enjoy reading history, and I enjoy reading about those who gave their life for others. We read about soldiers who threw their own bodies on a grenade or stood in front of the enemy as they fired so that they could protect their own comrades. Why did they do that? Because they loved their country, because they loved their comrades. And that stirs up within us emotion. And listen, one of the reasons that Jesus did what he did and gave his life for us is because he loved us. And we should remember that. Turn with me, if you would, quickly over to, you want to keep your place in Luke 22, by the way, but we'll want to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to show you one verse, verse number 19. I believe that Brother Flanders mentioned this last week as he was with us, or however long ago it was, I lose track of time. But when Brother Flanders was with us, he mentioned this verse, Ephesians 3 and verse 19, where the Apostle Paul is talking about how he prays for the Ephesian Christians. And here's one of the things that he prayed for them, that they would be able to, all right, verse number 9, and to know the love of Christ. Now notice this next little phrase, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What I want to point out to you in that verse, as the Apostle Paul was praying for the Ephesian Christians, he wanted them to know the love of Christ. But that love of Christ, it passes knowledge. That's kind of a little bit of a catch-22, isn't it? He wanted them to know something that's past knowledge. He wanted them to be able to understand and to comprehend something that's beyond our human comprehending. That is the love of Christ. And never let what some of the churches that do things that we don't agree with and don't think that line up with the Word of God, never let their emphasis on the love of Christ take that gem away from you, because it is true. If some would abuse the love of Christ and use it as an excuse to where we can live however we want, don't let that be a reason that you forget about the love of Christ, because it is a reality. He died for you partly because he loves you to such a great extent that it passes knowledge. And you know, on a Sunday, we ought to remember the love of Christ and how much he loves us. But not only does it pass knowledge, turn over to 2 Corinthians, which is a little bit to the left of Ephesians, 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. Here's something else about it. Verse 14, a verse that some of you probably have memorized. It says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." The love of Christ constraineth us. Part of the reason that we often fail to have Sunday as a memorial day for the Lord Jesus is because we have forgotten the love of Christ, and it no longer constrains us. We treat it as if it were nothing. Again, same reason that we often treat Memorial Day as just another holiday, as an excuse to grill out and spend time with family. If we could back up in time to, let's just say, Memorial Day, which I realized back then it wasn't an official holiday and wasn't even necessarily called Memorial Day, but right after World War II, when we came up on these holidays where we commemorated the fallen soldiers, let's just say 1946, how big of a deal do you think those days were in 1946? They were huge. There were tears. There were people who felt deeply the love that those soldiers had for nation, for comrades, for loved ones back home, who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And many, 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 many thousands who gave their all. And they felt it, and it was real, and it was a solemn day. And you know, the further we've gotten from those major conflicts like World War II and Korean War and Vietnam War and those things, and we've gotten into conflicts that our nation doesn't seem to take as seriously as we did those back then, the further away we get from that, the more lightly we take these days. And you know, the further we get from a remembrance of the love that Jesus had, the less we're constrained. And we treat these days as if, it's just another day. Yeah, I'll go to church. Yeah, I'll watch the service via live stream, but it won't really be something that I do seriously. It's not really that important. And we're just like those who would go to Arlington National Cemetery, and God forbid that any of us would do that, but we walk through those paths of those graves and think, no big deal. When can we go and get a hot dog? We do the same with the Lord Jesus, don't we? So we ought to remember his love for us. There's a second thing that we ought to remember every single Sunday as a memorial day to the Lord Jesus. We ought to remember his devotion to duty. His devotion to duty. His love for us and his devotion to duty. Now again, we often think of this with our soldiers, don't we? Many of them were motivated not just by love of country, not just by love of their comrades, not just by love of their family back home, but many of them did what they did simply because they believed it was their duty to do it. Part of the oath that they take as a service member, many of you took that oath, and you remember part of it is that they were to obey the commands of their superior officers. And because their superior officers told them, go here, do this, you know, take this post, fight off this enemy, get this objective and take it over, whatever. They did that and gave their lives. Why? Because my commanding officer gave me that order, and it is my duty as an American service member to fulfill my duty. And they went forward and died in the process, all for duty's sake. And we salute that on days like Memorial Day, don't we? We stand in awe of their willingness to do what they're told simply because it is their duty, and it makes us even shiver sometimes with a feeling of just awe for what they gave. And we should. But you know that our Lord Jesus did what he did? Partly motivated by love, but greatly motivated by duty. Because it was the right thing to do. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 10. Look to Hebrews 10 if you would please. Hebrews chapter number 10, we look at verse number 1 where the Bible tells us here about the Old Testament law. Remember how the Old Testament law, there were many sacrifices that were to be offered daily and some of them yearly that were given as an attempt for some to see the sacrifice that Jesus would later give. But when speaking about the law, here's what the writer of Hebrews says. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2 of Hebrews 10. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For, listen to this, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Let that verse stand out in your mind. It is impossible that the blood of those Old Testament sacrifices could take away sins. It did not happen. Not possible. Verse 5. Because of that, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking about Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Those Old Testament bulls and goats being killed. Then said I, Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the Old Testament sacrifices, that he may establish the second, his body obeying the Father's will. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Part of the reason that Jesus gave himself for us, and we should remember this, is he came, yes, because he loved us, but also because it was the only way that you and I could have salvation from sin was for him to come in a body, to live a perfect and sinless life, doing the will of the Father, day in, day out, moment by moment, always doing the Father's will, including the sacrifice at the end of his life. And he did it in obedience to the Father's will. Not because it was fun. Listen, not because it was romantic. You ever heard about young sailors and soldiers and airmen who, when a war would begin, they would enlist immediately and they had a romantic idea of what war would be like? You ever read about those men? That's something that I think God puts in young men probably so that they would actually be willing to go and fight and do those things because it's not natural for us to do it. And when they got to war, they realized it's not romantic. War is horrible. It's terrible. It's not fun and exciting. People die. People die in horrible ways. People suffer in war. And you know, Jesus didn't come with any notions of, boy, this is going to be fun. It'll be romantic to be the Messiah. It'll be incredible to have the adoration of people and be able to heal and do all these miracles and preach to great crowds. Jesus knew exactly what it would be like. He knowingly obeyed the Father's will, knowing that he would be called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That he would suffer like nobody else has ever suffered. He willingly came in submission to the Father's will out of his reverence for the duty that he had. Philippians 2 talks about the fact that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he did it all because his devotion was to the Father's will. I told you to keep a place in Luke 22. Turn there with me, if you would, if you go back to Luke 22. Notice verse 42. He did all of this because of a devotion to the Father's will. In Luke 22, 42, he's finished with the Last Supper. He's gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying all alone. And part of his prayer is verse 42, where he says this, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was a devotion to duty, a devotion to the Father's will. And you know, on this Sunday and every Sunday, we ought to take moments of time throughout the day and just remember, Jesus did what he did because he was devoted to the duty that he had to fulfill the Father's will. And we ought to remember that. We ought to honor him for that. How many times have you done what you're supposed to do just simply out of duty to your Heavenly Father? I imagine you have sometimes. But I also imagine that you're like me, and many times you fail to do your duty. You fail to do what's right because it's uncomfortable, because it's not fun, because it's not romantic, because no one will appreciate it, because, and you can go on and on and on with excuses, and we fail to do it. Jesus never one time failed to do the duty that he was given from his Father. Not one time. And we ought to commemorate that every single Sunday. His love and his devotion to duty. Let's talk about the third thing. Here's the third thing that we ought to remember every single Sunday as a memorial day to Jesus. We ought to remember his great suffering. His love, his devotion to duty, and his great suffering. There was physical suffering. Again, you'll want to keep your place in Luke, but turn back to Matthew chapter number 27. There was physical suffering, and we ought to remember that. Every Sunday ought to be a day where these things come to mind. What Jesus suffered for us, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. Part of it was physical suffering. Notice what the Bible tells us about what it was like for Jesus. Now, this is after the Garden of Gethsemane. This is, I believe, the next morning. In verse 24, it says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So can you remember what that scourging was like with that cat of nine tails? As Jesus was stripped bare, as he was beaten with that cat of nine tails and the flesh was ripped from him, as he was beaten with rods and punched and spit upon and all the rest, notice verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink, and they crucified him. Think about just a moment what crucifixion meant. As he was nailed there to a cross, and he was made to hang from those nails, all of his body weight being put on those nails and that cross. Notice verse 35, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So I want you to think about the physical pain that Jesus went through. It was great. More than we can even probably fathom. It was great physical pain. But it wasn't just physical pain. Listen, there was emotional pain as well. There was emotional pain. Jesus was alone. Have you ever felt truly alone? Most of us have never really felt what that is, to be alone like Jesus was. But he was, and it was emotionally something where he suffered. We won't take the time to read it, but I would encourage you to read verses 37 to 44, where we read that even as he was on the cross, the Jews, remember, he was being crucified by the Romans. Now, the Jewish leaders had given him to the Romans and demanded that they crucify him. But it's bad enough that the Romans, the enemy of the Jewish people, would crucify him. That's bad enough. But the Jews that were there, as they walked by, they wagged their heads at him and mocked him and said, you know, if you're really the Son of God, come down from that cross and then we'll believe on you. They reviled him and railed on him as they walked by. How wicked do you have to be as a man is there, listen, being hung up naked before all, suffering and dying in his last moments? How much of a pitiful human being do you have to be to walk by and mock that man? I don't care how wicked he's been. You have to be a horrible individual to do that. And listen, this is what most, if not, well, it wasn't all because his mother was there and a few others, but the vast majority of people, that's what they did as they walked by. He was emotionally suffering, physically, emotionally. And I believe the greatest suffering that Jesus had was more than that, it was spiritual. It was spiritual. Look with me back to Luke. Remember I told you to turn to Luke, Luke 22, verse 39, where the Bible tells us, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives." Now, by the way, this was backing up now before the crucifixion. So he's back in the Mount of Olives. Verse number 39, "He came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that ye enter not into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.' And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, 'Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.'" Now, I believe that what Jesus was going through there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed, you know, "If it be possible, take this cup from me, not my will, but thine be done," as he was agonizing, as he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, I believe that the agony that he was suffering was not just the fact that he knew he was going to physically suffer, although I'm sure that had to enter into his mind. But I believe he knew exactly what he would go through, which was this, and this is important to remember. He knew that what he would go through is he would become sin for you. Now, you can't imagine what that's like because you deal with sin every day of your life. And so do I. I am a sinner. Without Jesus Christ, left to myself, that's what I am. I'm wicked just like anybody else is. All of the wickedness that goes on in this world and horrible things that go on in this world, those same things I am capable of and they are within me. I am a sinner. That's what sinners do. And so are you. Jesus was none of those things. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He's the Son of God. And he knew in just a few short hours, not just my sin, but yours and the sin of the world would be placed on him. He would bear those sins in his body, Peter tells us. He would become sin for us, the Apostle Paul tells us. And he would suffer for us to the point where in the Psalms, when prophesying about the Messiah, he is referred to as a worm and no man. I believe that reference to a worm is a reference to the fact that because of his sin, he became such a wicked, horrible being that he was like a worm. In the Old Testament, when God likened this Messiah being put on a tree, he was likened as a serpent. That's a creature that most people despise and hate and want nothing to do with. Jesus became sin for us. Now think about that. He knew that he would suffer that. It was a spiritual suffering we can't even imagine. God poured out on him the wrath that I deserve for my sin and that you deserve for your sin. And every single Sunday, you and I ought to remember that. It ought to be something where we take the time to commemorate the fact that he became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I stand here today, and Brother Pritchett mentioned it a little bit in his song, I stand here today justified. That means I'm declared righteous. If I were to die today, I would go straight into heaven because I'm righteous. Now, wait a minute, I just told you I was a sinner. But because of Christ, I'm made righteous. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. And that same offer is made to everyone. And if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you are declared righteous. But it's not your righteousness you have, it's Jesus' righteousness. He traded places with you. And good night, on a Sunday, we ought to remember that. What an amazing thing that we can have a day at like Sunday and treat it like any other day. What a sad state it is much worse than for those Americans tomorrow that will treat Memorial Day as just another day to get drunk with their buddies. What a shame that is that Americans do that. And we do it as Americans all throughout the 50 United States, don't we? But what's more sad than that is Christians going Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, never remembering the Lord Jesus and all that He gave for us. His love, His devotion to duty, and His suffering for us. I would encourage you this Sunday, make it a memorial day for Jesus. Next Sunday, make it a memorial day for Jesus. The truth of the matter is, every day ought to be that way. But the least we can give Him is one day a week. The day that we commemorate His death, burial, and resurrection, Sunday. We ought to give it to the Lord. Have you thought about Him today? Was He on your mind when you woke up? Did you remember what He gave for you? Did you tell Him how much you appreciate what He did for you? If not, now's a good time to do that. And if you do not know for sure whether or not you have truly believed on Jesus, whether or not you have been justified and declared righteous, whether or not you can say with all assurance, like I said, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. If you can't say that, then I would encourage you to touch base with us. Reach out to us, whether it be email, a phone call, something. If you're here in person, come and talk to me about it afterwards. I want to make sure that you know that you have eternal life like Jesus talked about. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Lord, we just want to say, Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for being our Savior. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for fulfilling the Father's will, even if it was just out of duty, not wanting to do it, but being willing to submit to His will. Thank You for being willing to suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually, probably many other ways that we can't even fathom. Thank You for doing that, Lord Jesus. We give You honor and praise and glory this morning for doing that for us. We pray that You would bring to our minds constantly, and Holy Spirit of God, we ask You especially to bring this to our mind, that we are to remember You every single day, but especially on Sundays. Help us to treat these days solemnly, to not treat them as any other day, not even when we have to be at home watching a service via live stream, but that we would treat it as a memorial day for Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that You will. Now bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.